well, finally some free time for the Michi to do something other than dealing with the LPFM window, which has taken up so much time lately. It's time for us to get back into doing some other things. But for right now, we need to finish up and do a little detox from the LPFM window. So here we go.
REC-FCC Today, Michi Bradley.
Our last episode of FCC Today was, what, June 29th of 2023. And now we are on January 16th, 2024, as I'm recording this. Wow, where did all this time go? Well, obviously, the filing window took up pretty much most of my time during this period. Here at REC, we were involved with, what, 77 retail applicants. And overall, we were involved with over 100 applicants altogether with some kind of involvement, whether it was retail, wholesale, or some other involvement. So obviously, we had our hands in a lot of stuff, and there were some others out there that had their hands in a lot of stuff. Big kudos goes out to Todd Urick, who was involved with many, many, many applications, including many that he has not taken credit for, but rightfully should. Let's see. Bullet points on the LPFM filing window. It was originally scheduled for November 1 through November 8, 2023. However, a request by a consortium of community radio advocates was granted by the FCC that would extend, which would delay the filing window, actually, to December 6th through the 13th, 2023. And there was drama in this window, too, because we had a software vulnerability that came up, and a similar consortium to those who requested the delay went back to the FCC and said, hey, look, we found this problem. And the FCC did extend the window to 12 noon Eastern time on December 15, 2023. There were 1,336 applications filed in the window by comparison. There was over 2,800 applications filed in 2013, 10 years prior. REC has determined that there are 147 groups of mutually exclusive applications. As of this recording, 12 of these MX groups have already been dissolved through dismissal. And the FCC will announce the official list of MX groups at the end of this month. The original delay was to allow for more mobilization by some LPFM advocates to encourage more organizations to apply. We also had at the time was the Grassroots Radio Conference, which was scheduled long before the LPFM window was announced. And that was in mid to late October. And so we were going to be going out of GRC and then right into the filing window. And sometimes that is just not enough time. Especially since we had people at the GRC that were planning to file in the window. So this gave them a little bit more time to nail down their site, nail down their plans and everything, get the right people involved, do a little learning about the process. So it was actually a good thing that the window was delayed. Now, of course, for those with existing LPFMs and translators, it wasn't such a great thing because it also extended the filing freeze. So we got the delay until December 6th to the 13th. Now, what happened was there was an issue that came up, and this was the cause for that additional extension to Friday, December 15th. Some people incorrectly referred to this as a data breach. There was no data breach. No credit card information, no personal information or anything like that was stolen. No data was really breached per se. But what we called it over here was we called it a vulnerability. in the LMS Public View software that allowed for the viewing of filed applications during the window using a non-standard method of accessing the facility information. Normally the filing system, and I'm going to go back to CDBS. CDBS, the way it worked was that when you filed an application during a window, it's not seen the next day where other applications are. And then what will happen is that the FCC will eventually release the applications. They'll open the floodgates sometime after the window close, and suddenly, bam, all the applications are there. Now, the FCC did that in the 2021 window with LMS, and actually, the time was actually very fast because that window closed at 6 p.m., and as early as about 8:30 in the evening, we were seeing applications that were being filed. However, somebody had figured out a way that you could look up in LMS using a way that you don't normally look it up if you're just following the instructions and doing the menus and filling out the things and clicking the buttons. There was a way to do it. And apparently somebody had figured out that, hey, I can see other people's applications if I do this. And that's what they reported that to the FCC. And the FCC obviously did the right thing. They panicked. And they took down LMS that night at 6 p.m., installed a patch. By about 8 or 9 o'clock at night, it was back up and running again. And that vulnerability was taken out. And that's pretty much what happened. And that's what caused the extension. The actual amount of time that they gave for the extension equates to the opening of the window to the time when the FCC took down LMS to install this patch. So there was a method of the madness, because some people were saying, why 12 noon? And honestly, I would have liked to have seen it just extended to 6 o'clock, but they did close it off at 12 noon. You know, the FCC is not always good on giving extensions to windows. There's got to be an extenuating circumstance. I mean, we had this issue back in 2013. The window went for, you know, the window technically went for 1 month, and that was because of a government shutdown. But there was also an issue near the end where CDBS was acting up. So the FCC granted a small amount of time to extend that window. Now, there were some very small groups of applications that we would consider as being filing abuse by persons trying to game the system. There was 213 applications that were filed by one applicant called the Weather Alert Radio Network, which proposed stations all across the Gulf Coast, the Southern Atlantic Coast, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. All these applications were filed using the carve-out for public safety purposes. These applications are questionable since they don't clearly demonstrate how the applicant has a legal jurisdiction in those areas where the stations cover. Where's the government agency that says, yes, this organization provides police or fire protection in this area? They have a contract with us, and they're the ones that go out and put out the fires and arrest the shoplifters at the Walmart. So there's that huge issue of jurisdiction. This is an issue that I wanted to cover prior to the window opening through a petition for rulemaking, but I had to hold off on that because I did not want to delay the window. We didn't want to delay this window, and something like that would have delayed the window out 2, 3, 4 years. We didn't want to do that. We needed to get stations going. We needed to get people going here. So currently right now, there's 879 singleton applications, of which the FCC has already accepted 592 of them for filing through public notice earlier this month. So of those 592 applications, those that meet all the other requirements for filing will start getting grants as early as mid-February. So yes, the first LPFM grants out of this window, we should be seeing them in the middle of next month or later in the next month. 443 applicants were already identified by REC as being mutually exclusive. And that's among 147 MX groups of applications. The largest MX groups in the window have 7 applicants in them. And they were located in Springfield, Massachusetts, and there's one in Puerto Rico. Now, compare this with the 2013 window. Our largest MX group was, sit down for this one, 32 applicants. And they were all fighting for 101.5 in Los Angeles. And trust me, I had a lot of hats in that rodeo. REC's garbage list, which identifies applications that do not meet the baseline technical requirements or have serious administrative shortcomings, such as a lack of corporation status, is currently at 132 applications, including 3 that have already been dismissed for technical reasons. The changes made by the FCC with MB Docket 19193 regarding Channel 6 protections, this is something we asked for, by LPFM stations, has resulted in a little bit of an uptick of reserve band applications. While some of these applications didn't properly follow the Channel 6 rules, we did see 107 applications filed for the channels between 88.1 and 91.9. And if you look at the ratios between the number of reserve band applications filed to the number of actual applications filed in the previous 2013 window and now, and this window, you will see that there would be a significant ratio increase here. And a lot of that's because the FCC is now allowing a short-spaced LPFM to get permission from the Channel 6 licensee of the affected station. And this came into play pretty well in Puerto Rico. I have to thank the owner of W06DAD in Puerto Rico, who was very generous in giving out letters. This was something I negotiated with him. And pretty much as long as you weren't applying for 88.1 or 88.3 and you ask, you got. And that was something that was in the rules to make that open. We also have the other way of getting in through a contour study, and that would have been through including a 74-1205 style contour study to show that your interfering contour, which varies based on which of the 20 channels you are going on to, and the old analog 47 dB contour for the TV station, as long as there's no contour overlap, then you would have been, you know, you'd be able to do it. Now, we did have some folks try the 74-1204, 1205 change, and, you know, those should go through. Some folks did the 73-525, which is the full power non-commercial, which does allow up to 3,000 people in an overlap zone, which the 74-1205 doesn't. And technically, that was not the way to do it. So it will be interesting to see how the FCC is going to handle those applications. We have those applications garbage lists because if you were to apply the 74-1205 to these applicants, it wouldn't work. Simple as that. And next up for LPFM, the FCC will be doing some house cleaning throughout the balance of January. We are expecting a public notice to be released at the end of this month. This notice will just identify the groups of mutually exclusive applicants. Those LPFM applicants that conflict with other applicants on the same or first adjacent channels. As mentioned, we're currently down to about 135 of such groups. And most of them are fairly small. Like I said, the biggest ones are 7 member groups. This will open a 60-day filing period for settlement agreements, as well as the first opportunity for voluntary timeshare agreements. The filing freeze that was imposed on all window applicants will be lifted at 6 p.m. on January 31st at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, as we mentioned earlier, for those applicants that have already been identified as singleton, we should start seeing those grants sometime in mid-February. Now, there's a bunch on there that have not yet been accepted for filing. And what we're seeing is that the ones that were accepted for filing already were those that were filed in the first few days of the window. I think the FCC is going to come back around and finish up the job a little bit later. Now, I don't think they're going to do this after the 31st of January. Otherwise, you know, they may wait till after the 31st of January before putting any more on public notice. I think the FCC needs to right now concentrate on the housekeeping and getting the applicants cleaned up, seeing if there's any, you know, seeing if there's technical issues that might shave off a few of the MX groups. I think they want to try to get the number of MX groups down right now. So I think that's where the priorities are. And trust me, we have found a few issues that could possibly completely dissolve MX groups. Now, the FCC has already gone in and started to dissolve MX groups, the ones that involve the public safety. We talked about the Weather Alert Radio Network a little earlier. Those applications are starting to get cleaned up. We've already seen a couple of them where the FCC is using the non-priority rule to remove those applicants to remove the weather alert people from those MX groups. Later this year, the FCC will release one or more points public notices. These are the notices where the Media Bureau has analyzed all of the remaining MX groups and determined their scores. And then that data is sent to the full commission for an upvote. This is a regulatory technicality that the point determinations are still within the wheelhouse of the full commission. So the full commission will have a vote on that. What will happen is that will show up on the agenda as one of the quote restricted items. And usually what will happen is these will not go to the full meeting. These will get voted on prior to the meeting, and then the public notice will come out, and then that item will be taken off the agenda. That's how this normally works. So when you see one of these items show up on the agenda, then that's kind of a clue that there's going to be a point order coming soon. The FCC is also doing the same thing with the NCE applications. We actually have one on the agenda this month, so we should be seeing a point order coming out here in the case of the 2021 NCE window. Now, we are expecting that there will be a considerable number of applicants who will have points adjusted off of their original claims, including especially the local community presence point. There are many applications out there where the applicants just simply didn't follow the instructions and did not provide the state documents that not only certify that they're a nonprofit organization, but that they are a local nonprofit organization for the past 2 years. And we caught a ton of them when we did the post window and we did the post window evaluation of all 147 MX groups. So we're hoping that the FCC will see this. Some of them were very obvious. Some were claiming local presence, but on the point where they have to put in their local community establishment date, which is usually the date that their corporation was founded, if they are a legitimate local corporation, that date was later than December 15th of 2021. And if your date is later than December 15th, 2021, that's not 2 years. So you don't qualify for the established community presence point. There was a lot of misunderstanding. Some people thought it was, as long as they lived in the area, even though the corporation had been formed, as long as they lived in the area or they did charity work or they did some other work. There's a lot of stuff out there right now that everybody's going to have to weed through. Now, once the points public notice is released for a specific MX group, that'll open up a 90-day window for timeshare and settlement agreements, including partial agreements between the applicants with the highest score. So if they want to aggregate their score and beat out another 5-point applicant, they can do that. It'll also provide an opportunity for applicants to make unilateral changes to their facility, including those that are not normally allowed on a minor change. So you can change to any channel. You can change to a location further out. You just still have to meet the localism requirements. but you won't have to meet the like the established community presence or the main studio or anything like that, because once you're out of the MX group, you don't have to worry about those pledges. So that's pretty much where we're at on the LPFM window. And I think I've taken up way too much of your time right now. And so with that, I think we're going to say goodbye for now. We're back. And again, we're just going to have to take these episodes as they go on. And of course, you can always look for FCC Today at our official website, fcc.today, recnet.com. If you need help on anything, LPFM, FM translator, full power, give us a call, 202-621-2355. Visit our website at recnet.com. Track the window using the window tracker, great tool, at recnet.com/window. Check out our new quizzes. We've just put up a quiz for LPFM, for LPFM station managers. Test your knowledge. You get 10 questions out of a pool of about 40-plus questions. Try them out and see how it works out. Keep playing the quiz because you get different questions every time. So check that out. All right. Until then, I am Michi Bradley, SBE certified broadcast technologist, saying thanks for listening, and we'll catch you soon. REC.